Hey, I hit the button too early, so we're already live. Hold on just a second. Looks like Nick's just joining us. What's up, buddy? Sorry about that.
Hey, you know, sometimes we hit the buttons too early, but you can press my buttons all you want, Michael. I'm fired up to talk some ball with you today. What a weekend. And we got another one not too far away. Tuesday is the day where you're like, I mean, we're power raining days. Is Tuesday the worst day of the week?
I think it might be, because we're almost like removed from reactions, and the games just seem so far away. You know what?
I know, and there's not any NFL or anything tonight. We got to wait till October to get Cuse action, and then in November we get the Maction. Don't sleep on the Cuse action, all right? Not enough people get dedicated, get invested in Conference USA. But I watched the Hilltoppers. They'll sling it around on a Tuesday or a Wednesday night. Like, that, we need that right now. But instead, they're just stuck with us, and I'm happy to chat with you here on the Roush Hour.
Yeah, and as Dalton says, maybe you're just spoiled, like Brian Kelly would say to the damn LSU media after I just rewatched that game this morning, and goodness, does LSU stink on offense? So I don't understand why he was so upset. But where would you like to start? Would you like to start there? I put in the title just for you, Nick. Tennessee, South Carolina, crashing and burning. I think we almost got to start with Tennessee just for your affection for that program. You called it Tennessee choking, which I'm not sure I would 100% agree with that. But what was your thoughts on Georgia and Tennessee going back and forth like two heavyweights here?
Well, first, let's talk about Georgia, because it's one of those where you knew that they were going to lean more onto Gunnar Stockton and their passing attack. But you didn't know, like, it's weird. It's like seeing a fish on land or something like that, right? Like, they're not, what do you mean? They're not playing defense and running the ball? If seeing a baseball no-hitter during the steroid era. Like, that's just not how you win games. I'm so confused by it all. But sure enough, they did it. I mean, they did it all right. Like, and that's the thing that I'm a little nervous for is what if Kirby's doing the Nick Saban thing that happened whenever he brought Lane in, and then they started being this offensive team, and all of a sudden you look up and Mac Jones has a receiver that's a Heisman Trophy guy? You know, like that. That's what I think I learned from this game, is that they can kind of play you any style and still win. Now, granted, I think, you know, it doesn't happen unless you get a kicker who tightens up at that end of game situation, but for Gunnar Stockton to make that throw to London Humphreys on fourth and long, that was some major onions that I didn't know if they would, when push came to shove, would Georgia be able to win via pass? And they did it, man. You gotta tip your cap to them as much as I want to make fun of Tennessee for balling it.
That's the classic, pardon me, Gunnar, we were unfamiliar with your game, because he had shown nothing to display that he had that level of, just clutchness. I mean, it's easy because it's two Georgia quarterbacks, but there's some Gunner or some Stetson to his game. Stetson was clutch. They were always ready to move on from Stetson for whatever reason, but that guy delivered, and it's way too early to call Gunner the next Stockton, but he looked like it on Saturday.
No, they were great, and I think the most important part, and it's the Kirby Smart in their team. I mean, those were some heavy-handed haymakers that Tennessee was laying in early, and they could have very easily just rolled over, and they did not. So that I don't think Georgia is what they were a couple of years ago when that defense was just suffocating people. But it feels very similar to the Nick Saban career arc, right? Like, Nick Saban played murder ball with, you know, average quarterbacks that we see on TV now, like Greg McElroy. He does the ESPN. And then who's the guy that does the radio?
It's not Coker.
John Parker Wilson.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Or A.J. McCarron. I mean, hell, A.J. McCarron was their best quarterback for a while. Right, like, but that's kind of what Kirby did. He did that we're going to run the ball and play defense, and that's how we're going to win titles. And now he's adapting. He's adjusting. It's not as dominant as it was before, but it's still scary, especially if you're a team that can't live in shootouts. But hell, it showed us, the SEC showed us on Saturday that you're going to have to win a lot of shootouts in this league. There's a lot of offense to go around, and Man, I told you, Mike, like, you got yourself a ball coach and Josh Heupel. I really, like, for Joey Aguilar to have that kind of game, four touchdowns, 371 yards, and I know the two picks were thrown in there. The part to me that stood out more than anything is I thought Chris Brazel was kind of a bum last year. Like, he was very underwhelming. And you're like, are they really going to rely on this guy to be their man? Six catches, 177, three tutties. I mean, and the last one, too, that was when you wondered, do they have another one of these? Like, can they land another haymaker, right? They had, at least Tennessee's defense, you got to give them credit. They bowed up. They had forced Georgia to kick some red zone field goals. Those will kill you when you're in a shootout. It's like, but can Tennessee, can they muster enough offense? And then the corner, I mean, he hit the ball. He, like, hit the ball into Brazel's hands, and he still hung on to it. Like, that was one of those just like, damn it. Like, what? Come on. And I'm not going to lie, Mike. I was ready to – me and my guy, Stephen Peak, we were already calling them the national champs, undefeated. This team can't be touched. We were reverse jinxing it a little bit. And, hey, credit to us. We did everything we could. We're like the people who turn the fan on next to the TV to make sure that kick misses. And, boy, did that kick miss. My gosh, have you – who – I hope somebody checked his britches afterwards, because those things were soaking wet. I mean, he was as scared as all get out. I don't feel as bad for him, though, as I do for Phil Fulmer's lookalike. They kept showing that guy in the stands. And I hope he's the guy that Kirby Smart was walking off the field going, just really rubbing it in his face. Because that guy had seen some stuff. And he knew what was going to happen next. And when that false start happened, and it took a little, it's like, oh man, you just know that this is bubbling, this is boiling for disaster. And sure enough, it was a disaster for your team, Michael.
Well, speaking of disaster, I saw this post over at KSR. I want to ask you about it. Can Tennessee take Nico back? In the hell? I've enjoyed the engagement on social media in response to this volleyball player column. Explain yourself, young man.
Well, I think in college football, just like in life, everybody deserves a second chance. And yeah, things got a little rough there, but Nico took you to a playoff game. Did he think he deserved a little bit more? Sure. But you know what? Sometimes young men, they make mistakes. He clearly made one. And now, like a sick puppy, he's been abandoned by his coach out at UCLA. Abandoned, left out by the side of the road. And you know what? He needs somebody to take him back in. And I think it's time for the feel-good story in all of college football. We get a little Rocky Top redemption. Come back to Knoxville. Tennessee, your quarterback threw two interceptions in that game. You can't win with that. You need a guy like Nico who, I mean, did you see he threw a 32-yard pass last game? Like, bring Nico back. Just bring him back. Tell, you know, Aguilar, you know, it's been fun, but bring Nico back. Let's get a little Rocky Top redemption in Knoxville.
Hey, shout out to Miss Terry's Bathwater's got a comment here. Kentucky would sell their sister's wives for Nico. We got that. We got Michael Riley says Kentucky getting Nico would be the ultimate rivalry move. So could and shout out Thorne. He gave us a donation for $5. No matter what quarterback starts, we ain't losing this weekend. Go Cats! I think he's right.
Cats ain't losing. Can't lose. They got to win, though, with a new quarterback, which I know that Nico is a pariah, but there is it's cut or bully time. Time to cut or loose. It was the most yards per attempt that Kentucky's had in a game since Devin Leary played against another MAC school back in 23. So mm-hmm. I know he only completed 12 passes, but it was for 240 yards. They had seven explosive pass plays. They'd only had three in the previous two games. So you're going to have to score some points, and you can't just turn around and hand it off to Seth McGowan every time. As much as I like watching them turn around and hand it off to Seth McGowan. So Shane Beamer has Kentucky's number, but that, like, after what we saw happen at South Carolina, I mean, you know, it wouldn't shock me if Stoops went out and reverse the series, because that is, that's got a potential to be a real danger zone. I don't know. We haven't gotten much word out of Columbia on Lenora Sellers' status, Michael, but let's be real. That's their whole team. That's their whole football team. Shane Beamer has sold his soul for Lenora Sellers, and if he can't play, then they are cooked. I thought their goose was cooked even with him going into that Vanderbilt game. I told you all about it last week. I was so worried about it that everybody agreed with me that that line, I want to say 80% of the public was betting on Vanderbilt, and they put it on him. And it's not like, if you actually watch that game, yes, it was the Diego Pavia show where it's like, we're just going to possess the ball and we're going to kind of just piss you off while we methodically march down the field. In South Carolina, they moved it some, but like, this drive chart, I don't care if you can get a couple first downs, scripted drive touchdown, just like they did against Virginia Tech, interception, punt, field goal, punt, turnover on downs at the Vandy 44, turnover on downs at the Vandy 49, fumble in South Carolina territory, fumble, interception. I mean, you like, they are very much an offense that can't get out of their own way. I mean, my God, what's drink going to do to them? Like, that is a real – you have to find a way to score to win in the SEC now. Like, this is not your granddad's old SEC. I mean, it feels like it's almost a race of 30 in a lot of these games. How is South Carolina just going to score if they don't have Sellers? Like, Sellers has to do everything. And we saw on Saturday, if they do not have him, and even when they do, like, he has to be the one that puts his team on the back and gets them in the end zone. And that is asking an awful lot of one player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and especially when the opponent you're playing, their running back rushed for 250 yards and three touchdowns. And I would say he's not even been as impressive as he's been. He's not the most impressive Missouri Tiger to me this year has been Bo Prabula. So it's kind of pick your poison. Yeah. I know Carolina's got a solid defense, but it doesn't matter if they're scoring 7 points in a conference game. They're not going to win any of them. And they've only – the 38's deceiving. They only scored 17 on offense against South Carolina State. They only scored 17 against Virginia Tech because they have all these punt return touchdowns. So, yeah, I mean, this is a real, real issue. And if Carolina goes into an 0-2 hole in the conference
– oh, yeah. It's only getting harder from there, you know?
Right.
Like that Saturday, September 27th is big in the SEC for a lot of reasons. And I know that people aren't going to be locked into Kentucky, South Carolina as much as some of those other matchups that weekend. But that is going to be a loser leaves town sort of game where both teams feel like they're in a death spiral, because after that, the amount of winnable games is few and far between. Kentucky's going to have to travel to Georgia. South Carolina, you saw some of that where it's like LSU, Bama. Like, it starts stacking up, and that's where being a world of hurt moving forward. Can I just say, too, just briefly on Missouri one more time, that, like, I was skeptical of Drink early on, but, like, he's kind of – I mean, him and Heupel are just good ball coaches now. We just have to say it. Like, they're good. They are. Kirby Smart is at the top of the food chain, and then it's kind of a little bit of a hodgepodge, where, you know, it kind of depends on what you like. But Drink and Heupel are definitely in it. I think even in a loss, you learn that Tennessee is good enough to be a playoff team this year. And heck, you might be able to say that about Missouri too, once they get tested in SEC play.
Yeah, I would certainly throw Kiffin into that conversation as well.
Because they had Trinidad Chambliss in there throwing tutties all over the place. And Trinidad Chambliss, he sounds like you know, when it's it'll be Kentucky Derby time, they're like, name your horse. Like, Trinidad Chambliss is like that. That dude's like, I don't know what his – that's a generated name. Like, that can't be, because it's just not a real –
it's like the video game when you're recruiting, you do the recruiting in Dynasty mode, and you're like, Trinidad Chambliss, five-star quarterback. You know,
I can't decide if he is like a professional golfer or a hip-hop artist. You know, like it's just kind of it's the old game Alabama or England. Like it could be both, right? Like I don't know. It's anybody's guess. But the fact that he got in there and tore it up, first off, can we throw Lane Kiffin in jail for taking Austin Simmons off the injury report? I need Kiffin to spend a night in the clink. Like, come on, dude. That's the injury report.
Wait, correction, Nick. They've corrected me all week because I've been bitching about this too. It's the availability report, and he was available, so he didn't have to go on there.
Yeah, no, that's bullshit. that really irritated me. We need him in jail. We can't have people gaming the system. But it turns out it doesn't really matter because Arkansas can't play defense either. What the hell happened at halftime in that game? Because it was, you know, there's a lot going on at night. And, you know, I've got all the games on, and that one kind of got relegated. Mm-hmm. I mean, at halftime, it was, what, 35 all, something like that, or 28 all?
I think it was
31-28.
Kicked a field goal right before halftime, I believe.
Both teams had more than 300 yards of offense. In the second half, neither team had more than 200 yards of offense. Mm-hmm. Like, what? Huh?
Well, Arkansas missed a field goal on one of them. They fumbled at the critical situation, which could have won them the football game. It was the only turnover. And then Trinidad, he kind of had a little bit of issues there towards the tail end. But, yeah, they seriously pumped the brakes, both teams.
Yeah.
Again, it was...
I mean, Arkansas still had 522 yards and a loss, which, I mean, Taylen Green's a real deal, and I don't know, you know, what they have for the future at that position after this year. But if they do what we think they're going to do, right, which is be this sort of annoying team that's going to score a lot of points and lose a bunch of shootouts, Taylen Green's going to get some crazy numbers. I mean, the Bobby Petrino coup is happening, right? Like, there's no way around it. They're going to get Pittman out of there. Just say, Bobby, just do your thing. Just be the head coach.
And then he's going to beat Texas and Missouri and save, and then he's going to keep the job.
I mean, it is impressive what they've done with Green in that offense, but that schedule you just looked at, it's hard. Now that Notre Dame game is a must win for Notre Dame. There's no sort of, we're going to overlook them. Notre Dame has to win out basically to get the playoff because, man, that's one, like, dude, shout Elko. I didn't think he had it in him, man, because doesn't that feel like a game that A&M always loses, Mike?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had zero confidence, even though I picked A&M to win the game. That fourth and goal, game on the line, Marcel Reed, there's no shot in hell he's going to complete this pass, and he did it.
And he was doing stuff like that all night, right? Like, I thought you could do that. It goes back to that tier of quarterbacks, kind of like what I said about Gunnar Stockton earlier, where I think he might be good, but I want to see some more. I'm not ready to proclaim another A&M guy as the savior. There's enough A&M quarterbacks, ex-A&M quarterbacks that were supposed to be the savior playing elsewhere around college football this year for where I was ready to proclaim them kings. But here's the part that I overlooked, admittedly. They got receivers. your quarterback's only as good as your pass catchers. And Concepcion is great, but dude, Craver? Like, I thought Brazel had a day. 7 for 207. And that spin move he had down the sideline. Like, I feel like we see that happen quite a bit, Mike, with running backs, where you know, you'll get tackled and you kind of roll over the guy who's tackling you. This was not the case. Like, he had to, like, bend and contort his body to somehow keep his legs underneath him and then still explode out of it. Like, that was an explosiveness that I didn't know A&M had to their offense. But they went out and got him in the portal. They got the right guys in the portal. They used to try to fish for him in the high school ranks, and that wasn't really working. But they did in the portal this time, and it damn sure worked for him.
Do you think it's good that they have a bye? I would rather almost – I know Auburn's tough – but, you know, playing Auburn, a Mississippi State, and Arkansas, I'd almost want to keep that momentum going a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, I'm 100% with you, especially coming home. It would have kind of felt like a party, getting everything back in line. But you are going to get an Auburn team that should be a little bit more beat up. So there's that extent to it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, just credit to A&M, man. That was a huge play on the fourth and long, and yeah, you got away with a hold. And you got a little lucky, right? You needed Buckner to botch that PAT. But to win in a shootout, I didn't think they had the dogs to do that. And like that's what's going to make the SEC season fun. We talked about it previously about how there's not just like the most dominant teams at the top. Right. But everybody in that league, everybody that's going to be playing for a playoff spot, they can put up some points. And I'm still... We'll get to LSU in a second. I still believe that they will figure that out offensively. But so far, like it's clear that you got to have the engines revved up in this league. It's kind of, does it feel like we're almost in like old school Big 12 when it comes to scoring points? Going to get 40 points to win a game?
Yeah. I'm glad you said that. First, I want to shout out our top dog, our top cousin, Nick. He always gives a membership. The legend, JR.
Legend, cousin JR has done it again.
Yeah. Shout out. He gifted Russ a membership. Russ, welcome to the family, courtesy of JR. We appreciate you. And I thought that was a perfect time to break for that because JR is a huge Georgia fan. And I know we talked Georgia there with Tennessee, but is Georgia still the team to beat, you think? Or is it still a little bit of a muddled mess? What's your thoughts on that?
Can you pull up Georgia's schedule for me real quick? Because, okay, that was my big question. They went on the road for their big games last year. All their big games are at home,
right?
Except for that Auburn one. Georgia's the team to beat. Now they aren't as dominant as they were. I said that previously, but Georgia is clearly the team to beat because, I mean, DeBoering got the offense going last weekend, but you know how much faith do we have that that's going to be the Ty Simpson that we see on a regular basis? It's kind of what we thought going into this season, that he would be more efficient, and it was clear that you saw DeBoer kind of more engaged instead of just in la la land over there on the sideline. There's some sort of fire that he lit under their asses for that game, but. Like, he lit a fire into Ryan Williams' ass. You know, that made a difference. It's just how much can Ryan Williams do that on a regular basis? Can he be the guy week in and week out that puts up the crazy-ass numbers? You even see it in the NFL. That's very hard to do. And I know Brazel just put up some big ones against that Georgia secondary. So you might have another shootout, but I'm trusting Kirby Smart more than anybody right now. Like, when in doubt, I'm betting on that guy to be back in Atlanta for the championship game. But here's the thing, Michael. How many teams could they potentially be playing? Five? At least, I think LSU can figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee looked like it on Saturday, and their schedule is pretty light. Missouri has the schedule. They just really got to be Bama at home, go on the road and beat Georgia or Oklahoma. I mean, if Oklahoma wins that Auburn game this weekend, they're kind of in the driver's seat. What if Arch Manning figures it out? Oh gosh, I don't know. I might have said, I don't know.
Hey, what's your thoughts on this? So I asked our buddy Steven last in this on the last night show. Is there any shot that Oklahoma is the most complete team in the Southeastern Conference because they have the defense, particularly the defensive line. They got the star quarterback. They're starting to get the running game figured out. They've got talent at receiver. Hell, they're tight end currently. I know they haven't played tough competition necessarily, but their tight end is top 10 in the SEC in receiving yards. Is there a shot that Oklahoma is the most complete team this season in the Southeastern Conference?
No. Without a doubt, especially when you've got a guy like Mateer. When we were doing the preseason and ranking all the quarterbacks, part of why people had so much faith in giving Texas and Florida benefit of the doubt is because of the quarterback position. Well, Mateer might be the best out of all of them. And he's got that. He's got a lot of Baker to him where it's just like he's a little bit undersized. And but by God, he's going to do whatever it takes to win. Whether, I mean, he lowers his shoulder. I mean, yes. And that, this Auburn game is going to be very telling coming up on Saturday. And one of my favorite bets of last weekend was South Alabama against Auburn, +24.5. That was an easy win over at my bookie. Very easy win because and it wasn't as bad as normal Hugh Freeze games against. Like, normally he just loses those games outright. but, man, they can't throw the ball. Jackson Arnold completed 12 passes for 124 yards or something, 142. That's not great. I mean, Kentucky had a first-time starter or a second-time starter complete 12 for 100 more of those yards. Like, they're not very explosive. Like, what's going to happen when Venable starts doing all that crazy stuff next weekend? Like, this feels like I don't know if I would put them as Oklahoma as number two right now as Georgia's greatest threat. I kind of think it's Tennessee. But Oklahoma can make a statement against Auburn, beat the crap out of them, and say, no, we're the second best team in the SEC. Everybody get out of our way.
Is there any shot that Auburn, they're on the mountaintop right now, that it's like a snowball that starts rolling downhill with at Oklahoma?
I mean, they could lose four straight, man.
Yeah, at A&M, which A&M's got 2 weeks to prepare for that game. And then they get Georgia at home. Missouri's red hot. Missouri at home. And hell, they lost to Arkansas last year. So I wouldn't throw Arkansas necessarily into that. But, I mean, it's where are we at if we're 3-4, you know?
Well, especially because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, Georgia had 9 possessions against South Alabama. They let South Alabama dictate the terms of engagement. And, excuse me, only 8. They only had 8 possessions in a football game. And now they scored on 5 of them, so they didn't really have to sweat it. But those next 4 opponents all dropped 40-plus points last weekend. Like, you can't I know they're Keldrick Falk and that defense. They're talented. But they're not dictating terms. They let South Alabama dictate the terms of that game on their own home field. Jackson Arnold has – he was supposed to figure it out by now, right? Is he going to figure it out while Brent Venables is throwing his stuff all over there? I don't care that he went up against it in fall camp last year. He's going to have a couple of times where he just gets him, right? You're going to get got by Brent Venables. So I really like Oklahoma in this spot. I'm drinking the Sooner Kool-Aid. I'm getting hammered on it. And we're going to have a Saturday hollering Boomer Sooner or shoot all the guns off. This feels like a statement win in the making. That really, I mean, you want to talk about just like how fast things can change in this sport, like how angry people were at Venables there for a while. You bring in Mateer, bring in Arbuckle, and all of a sudden you're just lighting up opponents, just scoring left and right. And then conversely, look at Auburn. Like, I know that win at Baylor got the dogs off you, and then you had 2 kind of easy wins at home. But Hugh Freeze could be sitting on an open flame here in a couple weeks in October.
Well, you know who would like that is our buddy Steven Up. He's a big Bammer. So appreciate you, Steven Up.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
He gifted a membership, Nick, to Wicked Brew. Cool name. Wicked, welcome to the family. And then Big Gunner, we haven't talked much LSU. Want to shout out Gunner. He gifted a membership. He's a big LSU
shout
fan.
Shout out Gunner.
Gunner gifted Talon Wolf. Talon, welcome to the family. Any concern there, Nick, that LSU's getting 5 interceptions a game, which is good, but only winning by 10 points. and 10 of those points came off turnovers. So, I mean, really, they played a standstill against a train wreck of an opponent. Maybe a double parter here. Any concern with LSU and how much longer Billy Napier got in there in Gainesville?
I do feel like Florida, that defense is pretty good. Like I give Florida some credit for playing some inspired football despite their quarterback's dumbassery. I shot my shot in the preseason and called for the DJ Lagway sophomore slump, and who would have thunk it? Here we are. He's slumping, just throwing the ball to the other teams. It's almost like it helps if you actually have a chance to practice in the preseason and in the spring. Wild, wild concept. Practicing makes you better at football.
And Lagway, credit to you. You were like on an island on that one. I mean, literally everybody, myself included, was singing that guy's praises.
I was prepared for the sophomore slump. I didn't think it'd be five interceptions, three of which were in scoring territory, where they could have turned the game on its heels. They did not get it done. But I'm still holding out hope that, all right, was there something wrong with Garrett Nussmeier? Turns out there is something wrong with him. He's got a little injury. I don't know to what extent that injury is. But I still believe that LSU can turn it around, that offense can go in. Because here's the bigger question we had going into the season was more so about their defense. And the fact of the matter is the defense has showed up. And if that defense shows up against Ole Miss and gives them fits, they can still go out and win that game. I thought it was kind of weird the way they described the injury, that he kind of just – need some time off, but he's not going to get any. But Brian Kelly, though, that was weird, right? Like, dude, those questions were all fair. You were, what, 4 of 14, I think was the number, or 3 of 14 on third down? 4 of 14 on third down. That's terrible. Convert. Your running back averaged 6.5 yards a carry. That's not bad. Maybe give it to him some more. I don't know. Like, it was, especially when you got the hurt quarterback. Like, I guess I'm a little befuddled by it, but I do think that overall an LSU fan should be good that the defense has gotten them to a point where they can win them football games at home. Mm-hmm. So big picture, I think that's better, but it is just like, I can't pinpoint what the hell's going on offensively. Like they should be much better at this juncture.
You know, one team we haven't really talked about, Nick, that we talked about the loser, but we haven't talked about Vanderbilt, the winner. Man, thoughts on these Commodores? Again, shout out you. You predicted this one. You saw it coming. Diego Pavia, apparently he is appealing for a sixth season. We could discuss that as well. But how terrified is Hugh Freeze to hear that news?
No kidding, right? He just got spooked walking around the corner. Although I did see that Pavia just tweeted while we were on air, like, "Cap, this is my last year." Okay. But he's just so much fun to watch play football. Like, they ran some sort of reverse play, and then he ended up deciding to be the lead blocker on it. Somebody brought it up in the in the chat, like, hey, did Theo get that Vaughn, Theo Vaughn date? Yeah, with his mom. What?
I mean, it adds so much entertainment and not sensory that is what makes college football special, you know?
Right, because I mean, sometimes we can be a little too serious. Diego Pavia is not too serious. He's confident. He's having a good time. He's having fun. College football needs more players like that. A similar player that's cut from sort of the same cloth, Haynes King, Georgia Tech. Seeing him just like, damn it, I don't care. I'll put the team on my back and we'll go beat Clemson for the first time in a decade. Like that. That's the kind of just gumption. This just like, who cares? Like, we're just gonna go out there. We're just gonna win. And Vandy is just such a – they're such a hard team to – what's the right word? Because, like, they don't do anything that really wows you. They just methodically move down the field, and they score points, and then you look up, and you're like, damn it, why aren't we beating this team? They aren't doing anything crazy, but they just keep eating at you, keep eating at you, keep eating at you, and you look up, and they're beating you. So I'm fascinated to see how far they can go in where they can ultimately stack up, because that schedule does get tough in late October. But hell, if LSU's offense doesn't get it figured out, right? Like if Prabula somehow starts to get the turnover bug, like now all of a sudden I'm feeling like hell. Who would you? All right, here's a question, Mike. Who would you rather have quarterback your team right now, Diego Pavia or Arch Manning?
Diego.
Isn't that the crazy, but not? And what the hell's going on with Arch Manning? Like what? I think most of everybody in the world could have agreed that, like, okay, we could be overhyping Arch, but like at worst, he's still going to be an above average quarterback. I mean, he's been getting worse and worse, and it's just, it doesn't even look close.
And they're playing garbage teams right now.
And he's Chuck Knoblauch, who can't make the throw to first.
Right.
I mean, you were, some of those misses, man, it's like the outlet to the running back, and he's throwing it over their heads.
I think it's fair to say the pressure's got to him. And, you know, again, I get it. The Mannings, I know there was hype with Peyton, not to this level. There was hype with Eli, but I think, no offense to him, but when he signed with Ole Miss, I think the hype was,
again, Much different world.
Yeah, it was diminished. So this is just on another level, especially with these fans, Nick, that they've kind of disappeared from the chat, which breaks my heart, you know, Texas. But they were championship or bust. Not make the playoff or bust, but championship, national championship or bust. They don't look like they're going to make the playoff.
Well, these were the get-right games. These were the games where he was supposed to pad his stats, and we've seen him do that before. I mean, that Mississippi State game last year, he was just throwing it all over the yard. It looked easy. It looked effortless. And it's almost like he forgot to play football. I don't get it. I don't know, man. Like, I'm sure they're saying the same thing down there, where it's just like, what the hell is this? There was some, like, during his recruitment, he put up really big numbers late, and he kind of blew up. But there was a lot of people, like, that I knew down in Louisiana who kind of were skeptical because of the division he played in down there. It wasn't very competitive, so there was a worry that there was a lot of just kind of stat padding against bad teams. But he had all the athleticism, and he made all of the throws, even if they were against bad teams. And he gets 3 years, essentially, or two, or whatever it was, to let the cake bake. And now you're pulling it out of the oven, and it's still doughy inside. It's just wet. It's all gross. You can't eat this. You can't. So then what do? You're kind of stuck. You got the parties happening right now. We're blowing out the candles, but you can't serve this. So what – Sark is in a bad spot. And here's a real question, Michael. Is Sark a quarterback ruiner? Is he ruined quarterbacks? I mean,
Quinn Ewers was the highest rated recruit, wasn't he, of all time, or something stupid like that?
Was he the OC for Mac Jones? Was that?
He was, yes.
So maybe he just needs more 3 stars. That's Texas. For Steve Sarkisian to win, he needs 3 stars, not 5 stars, Texas. So you can send your 5 stars off to Kentucky. You know, you can send them to Arkansas. You know, spread the wealth a little bit. Sark, he ruins 5 stars. But you know what? He can coach up a 3-star, by God.
Brodo says Sark ruins quarterbacks and spies on bathrooms.
Does Arch just have diarrhea? Is that why he can't complete a pass? I mean, honestly, Arch having serial diarrhea on game days, would that explanation makes more sense than whatever we've seen. Because, right? Like, I don't think I'm good, but I think I could have made some of those throws. Who would have thought that Red River, going into Red River and that rivalry this year, that John Mateer would be the guy competing for a Heisman and not Arch? The Wazoo guy with Brent Venables on the hot seat. Like that.
I think someone said it on Feinbaum show at SEC Media Days. I'm just saying, but besides that guy, who, I don't think anyone else said it.
Oh man, our friends at Sooner Scoop might just be drinking so many Longhorn tears at that state fair. Do you think they serve Longhorn tears as like a beverage there?
They should.
They really should. Really, Brandon,
appreciate the donation. He says, what is Kentucky going to do with five stars? Prep them for the transfer portal?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, no, retirement. Retirement. We got Brock Vandegrift, former five star. And what's his name? Now I can't think of his name. Spears? Was Spears the guy, defensive end for you all last year? Why can't I think of his name now?
At Tennessee, Pierce. James Pierce. Pierce.
Yeah, he sent him an early retirement. I will say there was at one point, you know, you get bored during the offseason. I think I wrote some fan fiction about like Arch seeing how great Lexington was during his trip up here. And then when things go sour, he decides to hit the portal and go play for UK. Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't even take him now, would you?
I'd take him over Nico. All right. Well, I don't think anybody wants Nico. I don't think anyone wants that guy.
That's not saying much.
Except in Knoxville. Like, you need to make some amends. You need to get up, kiss and make up, you know. Hypo, just come on. Come on back, Nico.
You know, I would imagine UCLA's rate, like Fox is over there looking at UCLA's ratings, and they're like, good God, these ratings are amazing. What's going on? It's a damn Vol Nation watching all these games.
I mean, you want to talk about what a great coaching job Hypo did. Just look at Nico. I mean, man, we thought it was bad a year ago. It turns out that was awesome. That was exceeding all expectations.
Hey, looking ahead to this weekend, we've hit on some of these games, but which one are you most excited about this weekend in the Southeastern Conference?
I mentioned it earlier, the Oklahoma Auburn game. I'm fascinated to see if Florida quits or not, because that was really their MO last year. Is you thought that, as bad as Billy Napier has been, and you've shared all the stats about how terrible his record has been compared to some of his predecessors, that they ran out of town much, much quicker. They figured it out at the end of the year when it looked like they were dead in the water. And if Lagway doesn't throw five picks a week ago, if he just throws two of them, they got a chance to win that game. So what happens this week when Miami comes to town? But can that defense give Carson Beck some fits? It did a year ago. I mean, remember, they were in that game for a while at the cocktail party before Lagway. You'll never believe this. He got injured, and I thought they were going to have to amputate his leg in that game. But, like, does Florida show any life, or have they just completely let go of the rope and this thing's over? Because, I mean, there's a real chance that this thing gets sideways and Beck throws for five touchdowns, and it's just an embarrassment that you can never recover from. Right. You're basically at this point, like, if you're not doing anything, you're just waiting for the Kentucky loss to confirm it, because
am I crazy for thinking Florida can win this game though?
No, I don't think you're crazy. Especially because you know that the defense is going to force Beck and that wide receiver group too, to make some contested catches. Like, as much as people fell in love with them because of the CJ Daniels one-handed catch, like, that guy wasn't good at LSU last year. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? Like, the receivers that they have there have been playing above their heads. Some of that is because of they're having better quarterback play, but the other part of it too is just playing bums.
Interesting question from Brandon Snake. If Florida beats Miami, does Napier save his job?
For now. But here's the thing. Is Miami their most winnable game of the next four?
It might be Texas, the way they're playing.
Yeah.
As crazy as that sounds.
And it's at home. The biggest part of this, and the reason why it feels like such an important moment, is because you know how it is down there. You already lost to one in-state school. Right now, they're the fourth worst. They're the fourth worst team in the state of Florida. Right? Like, you lost to South Florida. If you lose to Miami, you're gonna be a big dog against Florida State too. Like, that that don't fly down there, man. Like, you cannot, that does not fly at all whatsoever. So I'm fascinated if they show any heart, show any life in this game. But, like, what do you do with Lagway? I mean, you feel like you probably got to get to 30. Because even if your defense plays well against Carson Beck, you feel like you got to get to 30. So what do you do? He was pressing in that game. He was trying to do way too much. They're in a world of hurt, man.
They act like Jaden Ball doesn't exist, even though he's very productive week in and week out. You know what?
I don't understand. I don't understand. He got 10 touches. I guess 17 counting receptions, sorry. But still, that guy's got to get the ball more. And what's weird, too, is like some of it feels like it's there. Like, it's just like, can you miss smaller, Lagway? Right? Like, you're because, like, it's that throw to Vernell Brown. Like, okay, all right. That'll do. But can you just make the interceptions not look so cartoonish? I mean, they're not even close. So
don't throw into triple coverage. We might be able to win a game.
Seriously. So I guess that's probably got to be the way to go is to not win in a shootout. Try to slow it down. Run the damn ball.
Could Carolina, Missouri be a drunk game where it seems like whenever South Carolina gets hyped, they fail. Whenever you think they're done, that seems seemingly when they play their best.
Yeah. And there's also a degree of like, all right, is Missouri really going to be this good? Like, come on. But at the same time, that's a night game. Be their first this year in Como.
Mm-hmm.
They're ranked now. I have a feeling they're going to be out for blood and just. I think it could get drunk in the fact that Shane Beamer is going to get drunk on the sideline. Of just. At least look like a ridiculous drunkard, right? Like, he looks like the kind of guy that gets thrown out of the bar for being a jackass and then acts like an even bigger jackass and then can't believe he's getting thrown out of the bar. Because you know how it is. He's on the sideline just, like, grabbing his hair and just, oh, my gosh. But even if Sellers plays, best case scenario, I don't know how they slow down the Missouri offense. Because make it you want to make this a slobber knocker in shortened possessions? I trust Ahmad Hardy more than any of those other guys that run the damn ball. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, you're going to turn around and hand it off to him? Sure. That guy's awesome. I mean, he's got like 600 yards so far this year. And we're through three games. So, like, that one feels like a blowout. You want a team that's on upset alert, though?
Can I guess?
Yes.
I think this is the weekend John Sumrall lands himself an SEC job. Are you gonna pick the fighting John Sumralls?
The fighting John Sumralls are gonna do it, and it's gonna drive Kentucky fans insane because they lost to LSU, they lost to Ole Miss because they had a yakety sex operation for a half and couldn't get anything together, and. People forget that Sumrall did coach at Ole Miss for a couple of years with Matt Luke.
Yeah.
And that's where he kind of really showed that he can get elite talent in the South. I think he's going to go in there and do it, man. That game last week, and I know there is I was a little hesitant. Like, do I pull the trigger on Tulane against Duke? Duke paid to take away their quarterback. Well, Sumrall got his revenge and took it out on him, right? The key was Duke didn't take his offensive coordinator. Joe Craddock, he can call some plays, even if he's rotating two quarterbacks in. What's Lane going to do with – he doesn't have an availability report this week because it's a non-conference game. So are we just – is it Trinidad Chambliss time? Are we sticking with him moving forward? I think Tulane can keep up in a shootout for a little bit, and I think they'll also probably do enough to slow them down. So I love Tulane in this spot. They're looking like this is the kind of thing that you can put on your resume and say, we are the Group of Five college football playoff team.
Does it surprise you? Because it sure as hell surprised me that Arkansas is only a 6.5-point favorite at Memphis. And I believe the line opened Arkansas minus 4. So it has slightly shifted in favor of the Razorbacks. But this is a tricky spot, too. Because, you know, you assume it's going to be Memphis, like, Super Bowl-type game, trap game. Just lost a tough SEC opener. Any thoughts on Arkansas going to Memphis?
Oh, the Liberty Bowl is going to be hot for 11 a.m. local kick. You know, and it feels like when you watch a game at the Liberty Bowl too, that there is always some weirdness, some ugliness, but it's actually like you can't stop watching, you know, kind of like a train wreck. And ultimately I just can't trust Arkansas getting stops in that game to want to walk up to a window and bet on them. Although it does feel like this might be our noon drunk game. You were talking about potential for some drunk games. This feels like this game could get hammered at the Liberty Bowl, which I went to one of those drunk Liberty Bowl games back in the day. It was Louisville against Boise State when Stephon LaFours was there. I think this would have been like 2 years before they beat Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl. And that game just went to banana land. Liberty Bowl, it gets a little weird there. I think we're going to get weird for the nooner on ABC.
And I looked up this is a weird random stat. Let me make sure I get it 100% correct. But Texas right now, again, they've played UTEP and San Jose. Texas right now is 126 in the country and converting on third downs. There's only 136 teams, so they're 10 worst. But number 136 out of 136 is Sam Houston. So we got the two of the worst. I mean, do we just punt the ball on third down in Austin this week?
Quick kick. I'll never see it coming. Just go out there and nobody will be back there. Just get out there and quick kick it.
But I asked that, Nick, to say, I think we're already kind of panicked, 27-10 over UTEP. How many points or, you know, what do we got to see from Texas to avoid panic this week against Sam Houston?
It really just comes down to, is Arch completing passes on a regular basis? I don't think it's even a scoreboard thing. Sam Houston got Phil Longo. They brought him back. Longo, if you recall, he was the guy who got North Carolina rocking and rolling offensively with Mac Brown. They had Sam Howell and Drake May get drafted because they ran this sort of air raid, spread you out. Luke Fickle tried to do that at Wisconsin. Why? I don't know. It was quite a big risk and one that failed. So Longo gets the axe. So he went back to where he started at Sam Houston. It feels like a team, you know, like a year from now that you should buy some stock in. But they're not playing games at home this year while their stadium gets redone. It's first year of a rebuild. Texas will take care of business in the default sort of win. But, like, can Arch complete 65% of his passes? Not even, like, long ones. So, like, just do the – let's go old school. Let's try to run some air raid screens. Like, I mean, what's crazy is – I mean, Sark is known for being this guy who is great at scheming up screens. So you would think that they would be able to scheme up really easy stuff for Arch. Can you just do that to get his head right? Because if he doesn't, then they're going to – what do you do during the bye week except just amplify the intensity and the anxiety in the room? I mean, that is just so weird to say this, but there's a lot of pressure on them to perform well offensively against Sam Houston State. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Does Joey Swagular, does he throw for 6 touchdowns or 7 against UAB this weekend?
Oh, my gosh. Who, Trent Dilfer, RIP. How does that guy still have a job? They're so bad at UAB. And that's the thing with Aguilar, too, is and Heupel in general, they're great at putting up big numbers against bad teams. But, I mean, I mean, Tennessee's good enough to go to the SEC championship game. They're good enough to be a playoff team. I don't like saying it. I don't at all. And the part that I hate too is Arkansas is actually built to like kind of win in a shootout with them, but they're not going to catch them sleeping after last year. You know, does Ty Simpson actually, like, has he turned a corner?
I mean, are there games on this Tennessee schedule that you're scared of aside from at Bama and Oklahoma?
I mean, let's call a spade here, Michael. Oklahoma, Tennessee, the Hypo Bowl might decide who's playing Georgia in the SEC championship game this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I like that take.
That's kind of, that feels like the direction we're going. We're handing out September Heismans, and we're getting our horses well behind the cart. But, like, it feels like these teams have lots of answers and good enough defense. I mean, you didn't have your two starting corners in that game, you know? Like, you should get better, right? Like, Jay Knott has, you know, he's had his weird health stuff. Like, what happens when they really figure out that run game? I mean, Prabula and Hardy are the best 1-2 punch in the SEC right now. But it's going to be, like, Oklahoma's going to have that, too, in their bag.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one that fascinates me the most is Missouri. Again, like, if they are who I think they are, they beat the crap out of South Carolina this weekend, and then they beat Alabama at home. Like, that's the, like, okay, they're for real, and they can be a threat. But I don't know how much I'm falling for the stat padding early on. Like, if they beat the crap out of South Carolina and then beat Bama, which they should. Like, Bama, I remember going into the season, we were like, man, if they beat Bama, they can go undefeated. I mean, mm-hmm. Bama might be the third most difficult game on their remaining schedule because you got to go at Oklahoma and you got A&M at home.
Mm-hmm.
A&M Missouri could be a very fun drunk game too, the way that they're scoring points. Like, I just think it's fun that it is early September and week three gave us so much excitement that we can have these sort of wild takes, but it's hard to be definitive because especially when your teams are scoring so much, like, it is just who's going to make those defining plays on fourth down, right? Right. And right now, I didn't think Marcel Reed or Gunnar Stockton could. I didn't. Hand up. I didn't. I think Mateer can. He's got to do it against Auburn this week, right? What if Singleton does, you know? Like, I didn't know if Concepcion would, but they had a big spot. They went and made big plays. Craver did it, you know? Like, what if Auburn's guys do? Although I do tend to think that Jackson Arnold's probably going to be like, can I just never come back to Norman ever again? Please. It's the reverse Otega Owe. Otega Owe just comes back to Oklahoma and just rips out their hearts with buzzer beaters every time. Jackson Arnold, he might have a DJ Lagway type game where Oklahoma fans are like, but Jackson, like, come on. Like, you're our best good pal. It's like Tennessee fans with Nico. They're just like, oh, so glad you did this for us, man. So glad you did this for us.
Hey, I won't hold you to this because it's very early. You talk about September Heismans, so I wanted to ask you final thing here. You know, the SEC, they're kicking ass non-conference, and the way the rest of the country is going, it looks like the conference may get five teams in the playoff. I don't know, thoughts on that? And then if you had to pick, you know, maybe not even five, but just four, I think for sure they'll get four this year after only getting three. If you had to pick today, four or five, if you want, conference SEC teams to make the playoff, who would those teams be?
Why do you got to do this to me? I don't want to say more nice things about Tennessee, okay?
That's pretty much why I just said
this. Yeah, I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. You're making me say the nice things about Tennessee. But I think Tennessee and Georgia, like, even though Tennessee didn't win that game, they're a team. Like, I have confidence that they can win those kind of games. I have faith in Oklahoma now that I didn't think I had before. That's going to be reinforced with a big win over Auburn on Saturday. So there's my three. My fourth, I still have faith in LSU because of that defense. And I know I talked about how great the offenses have been to date. Nussmeier's going, they will figure that out. I'm still not cashing in my stock on LSU. I'm not bailing out. I still have belief that they'll figure it out. The question ultimately comes, I think the next step, it's between A&M, Bama, and Missouri. And for me, some of it's just like, maybe Bama needed that wake-up call at Florida State in week one to kind of get their stuff together, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe that was kind of what woke them up, galvanized them to where they can win some of those big games. Some of my trepidation is I still just can't. Like seeing Mike Elko coaching in a playoff game, I don't know. I'm just not quite there yet. I can't envision it. You know, you play the. Can you imagine him up there with like the confetti falling down? Like it just doesn't. It's not hitting for me yet.
All right, shout out. Last thing, Carl Junk is $10. Appreciate you, buddy. Corners, defensive tackles back. Right, Sanders, 5-star David Sanders back. No one in the SEC can beat Tennessee. Carl's a sport man.
You know Georgia. We beat him a week ago.
Yeah, forget about that. All right, Nick, before you go, tell the cousins how they can follow you and how can they find your work.
I appreciate y'all hanging out with me. I'm at Roush KSR, like Roush Racing. No relation to Jack, I wish. If not, I wouldn't be talking to you, Michael. I would be driving my Shelby Mustang all around the yard. At Roush KSR on Twitter, you can find all my stuff at Kentucky Sports Radio. Remember, look, I'm being a company man, rocking my 1-3 gear today. Nice. That's where you find it all. But appreciate hanging out with you every week here on the Roush Hour. It's always good hang, especially after we had such a great college football Saturday, man. And the best ones are the ones that end with Tennessee losses. I'm afeard that we ain't gonna see too many more of them.
Yeah, and hey, congrats to you and Kentucky. Can't lose this weekend.
Yeah.
Enjoy the bye.
Will do, brother.
All right, till next week. We'll see you on the next Roush Hour. Appreciate you. Appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you tonight, Cousin Shane, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, to preview all the week 4 SEC games. Until then, bye-bye.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.